You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everybody. This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, fresh off a really active All-Star Game experience, I'm sure, is Jeffrey Flanagan, our Royals site reporter. And Jeffrey, yeah, break that down, that experience for me. The Royals obviously had their own wing of the visitors' clubhouse down there at Great American Ballpark. What was it like for you just trying to keep up with all those guys? And of course, Ned Yost had a major role in this game. Everything in that game went the way he wanted it to lock down that home field advantage for the American League.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, he was able to set up the final few innings, get Wade Davis in the game in the eighth, and he had Perkins and Batante. I mean, he had the all-time HDH all-star kind of closers there, and worked out perfectly for him. And they all had a good time. Lorenzo had a good game. Escobar had a pretty good game. Everybody kind of contributed. Of course, the funny part was Mike Moustakas being pinch hit, having a pinch hit there against 103 mile an hour fastball. It probably had the quote of the days. And well, I thought Ned and I had a good relationship. And of course, you know, he struck out like everyone else did. But it was a good experience for everyone. The guys enjoyed it. And no one got hurt. Lorenzo didn't hurt his hamstring any worse. So they came back pretty refreshed for the second half.
Absolutely. And we know going into the second half, the big question mark, the big storyline with the Royals is persevering without Alex Gordon. That injury happened since the last time we recorded one of these podcasts. And it's a huge blow in theory, although the Royals haven't truly felt his absence yet. What are your thoughts, Jeffrey, on how they've weathered the storm so far and the outlook moving forward?
Yeah, right now it's working out pretty well with the platoon of Dyson Orlando. And Orlando has hit three home runs since he's been called up, so you can't say they've really, really missed him. Dyson's played right. Some spectacular left field. Paul Orlando's won two games by himself last week before the break, and then hit a home run yesterday, a big home run off Sale, to give them a cushion there and allow them to take three out of four. Long-term, though, I mean, I don't know if Dayton and Moore and his staff are going to be completely comfortable with that platoon. You may see them at least actively pursue a corner outfielder. We don't know, you know, when Alex exactly will be back. It's going to be at least September, mid-September, and he's not going to really be baseball ready, maybe not even until the playoffs. So what they're talking about right now in the front office is what to do at that corner outfield spot, to either stick with what you got and hope it works or go out and pursue a starting left fielder, which won't come cheap, of course, because everybody's looking for bats and everyone's looking for pitching this time of year. So right now it's working out great, but you got to be careful you're not chasing fool's gold here. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Right, and then the other deadline question is the starting staff, which, of course, a lot of people are pegging the Royals to this guy or that guy. Johnny Cueto's name, of course, has come up. You've made the point here and elsewhere that this team might have too many starting pitchers just from a numbers standpoint. And now, you know, we really see that situation come to a head this week. Jason Vargas is returning to the rotation Tuesday. Chris Medlin joining the pitching staff, not the rotation. He'll go in the bullpen, but certainly looms as a rotation option. Moving forward. So how do they handle this logjam?
It's the question we're all waiting to answer, because they've got seven starters for five spots. They're not going to go to a six-man rotation. That's definite. Everyone keeps associating them with names like Cueto, but as we've talked about before, they probably need to go the other direction and kind of jettison a pitcher or two and maybe get that corner outfielder if you can. It's just... when we talk about free agent pitchers that they could acquire, well, actually they did acquire one last offseason with Chris Medlin, and he could be their big addition to the second half of the team. He's going to start out in the bullpen, probably a little bit of long relief, but they're going to have some hard decisions to make. The first one won't be too hard because they can send Johan Pino down as they activate Medlin. But when Vargas is activated tomorrow, a named pitcher is going to have to go. Some name that we're very familiar with, and it might be a Joe Blanton, We don't know. And then, of course, the other decision has to be made is who comes out of the rotation. And right now, you know, it seems like a shaky rotation, but they've been good starts over the weekend in Chicago. Danny Duffy was brilliant yesterday. You can't imagine them taking him out. Yordano's start of the year is their ace. He goes tonight. I can't imagine them taking him out. Guthrie's been pretty solid. Chris Young has been solid. You just don't know. And of course, Volquez has been probably their best overall starter all year. So I have no idea what they're going to do to take a guy or two out of the rotation. You know, Ned and Dayton always like to say, well, these things work themselves out. Well, we're at that time now where they have to work themselves out. So there's no more waiting around. You know, there's no more injuries that you can fall back on and you know, put a guy in the DL. They're all healthy. They're all ready to go. And you got seven guys for five spots. And in the next 24 hours, they're going to have to make some tough decisions. And I'm curious to find out what they're going to be, just like everyone else.
You got to think, if Dayton's off-season batting average, so to speak, is any indication, you got to think Medlin could be a difference maker on this club, whether it be in the bullpen or even the rotation moving forward. What have been the reports on him and his comeback here?
It's been really, really good. I mean, his last outing a week ago, granted it was in Double A, but he threw seven shutout innings, you know, was commanding everything. Had his velocity up where it should be, 93, 94. He's really the wild card in this thing, and I can't imagine him not being a part of the rotation at some point in the second half here. I just don't know who you take out. You know, they want a second lefty in the rotation. That would be Vargas. Jeremy Guthrie is in the last year of his deal, so there could be some logic there to take him out, but he's been pretty solid lately. The problem is both of those guys, Vargas and Guthrie, aren't necessarily good guys for the pen. They're more starters, long guys, than short, come in for a batter or two. So, but getting back to your question about Medlin, I think they got him in the offseason expecting him to contribute in the second half and contribute in the rotation in the second half. So I don't think it's going to be too long before he finds they wedge him in there somewhere. It's just a matter, again, of who comes out.
Lorenzo Cain, of course, is one of the all-star reps, and he's been swinging a hot bat of late. And really this season, Jeffrey, he's really matured as a hitter. I saw a stat the other day that his batting average on fastballs, second only to Miguel Cabrera in the majors. So that's some pretty good company, obviously. That's an area where he's probably grown quite a bit. But what's your take on Cain's development here this season and really building off that October? It was such a breakout October for him from a star standpoint.
Yeah, we just don't even know what his ceiling is. I mean, he just keeps kind of amazing us every day. I mean, 2 years ago, I would not have guessed in a million years that he'd be an all-star and this type of hitter. He struggled with pitch selection back then. He kind of looked like he had kind of an awkward swing. And now, I mean, he kind of hits off his back foot, which is kind of unusual, but he's so strong and he's got such a good eye and he can attack fastballs like that, that he just don't know where it's going to end. I mean, he's already got a career high in home runs. I never thought I'd see the day where he'd hit, you know, double digits in home runs. And now he's just crushing the ball. And he's up around, 310, 320. And a pretty good on base percentage as well. And of course he's Gold Glove caliber outfielder. You know, you start to think about, you know, he's not Mike Trout yet. I mean, he's not an MVP type player, but he's a candidate. He'll be on the list of the 10 guys who could be an MVP. So they really there's a big difference too when Ned moved him up to the number three spot last year, and that really puzzled a lot of people because he really wasn't really driving the ball at that point. He was getting a lot of infield hits, a lot of kind of little dinkers to the outfield, and he kept his average up around 300, but he really wasn't a potent part of the offense. And since Ned moved him up to the number three spot, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they must be phenomenal because he had great the last 2 weeks of the season. He had great in the postseason, was the MVP of the ALCS, and has just taken off this year too. And in the last few weeks, we've just seen this power stroke that we hadn't seen in him ever. So, the ceiling's just... We don't know what it is with him, and I think Ned doesn't either. They're just kind of just sitting around and enjoying the ride.
Yeah, very exciting player. And I got to say, even as someone who lives in an American League Central city and sees the Royals quite a bit, I mean, last October was eye-opening even for me. It was like, geez, where is this coming from? And now he's really solidified that for a full season. I got the numbers now in front of me here, what I was alluding to earlier. He's hitting .390 off fastballs that end at bats. The league average is .273. Miguel Cabrera is at .400, and of course is injured right now. But geez, over we're talking about 117 points higher than the league average on fastball. So that's been a huge key for him. But a very fun player to watch, and the Royals have been fun to watch all season. Go ahead.
Yeah, they have, and he is crushing fastball. It seems like he's crushing everything. The ball he hit the other day and on Saturday to win that extra-inning game was a hanging curveball. He just belted it. And he's just kind of an amazing player. I don't know what quite to make of it because maybe he could be, you know, a 2020 guy. We know he can steal bases. He leads the team in stolen bases, too. And I've got to get that stat about what he's hitting since he moved into the number three spot in the order, which I said at the time was pretty controversial. And like everything Ned's been touching lately, it's turned to gold. So, I mean, even in the All-Star game, he made some curious moves there. It was pinch-hitting Prince Fielder against a tough lefty. And, of course, Prince belts a single and drives in a run. So, you know, it's just you just sit back and go, okay, Ned, take over, because everything he does is right. So,
amen. I want Ned. I want to go with Ned and just have him pick out some scratch-offs for me. I'm not looking to bank. I'm not looking to win, you know, the $15 million prize. Just give me some scratch-offs, $200. I'll be happy. So I'm going to bring Ned to the grocery store.
I like that. I might do that when I see Ned in the clubhouse there. I'll just bring a whole batch of them for him and, you know, just hand them over to him. We'll split
there you
it
go. He's got the magic touch. But, all right, we'll see what the Royals have in store in the second half, and the trade deadline will be interesting for them and many others. I want to thank Jeffrey Flanagan for joining us. It's been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.